This podcast is brought to you by MyScore IQ. MyScore IQ services are here to help you be prepared when it comes to making big financial decisions, such as buying or refinancing your home or purchasing that new car. Try it out for only $1 for a 7-day trial. You'll receive your FICO scores from all three major credit bureaus, along with active credit report monitoring and alerts for changes to your credit report and possible suspicious activity.
MyScore IQ services can help you be in the best position possible when you take that step to apply for a home or auto loan, all for $1 for a 7-day trial. Visit MyScoreIQ.com/Todd to learn more. That's MyScoreIQ.com/Todd.
Going off of that, I know you wanted to spend a little time in today's episode talking about research and due diligence, because you know we always say that you don't want to fall victim to that emotional decision making, and so the best way to do that is obviously to have a thesis, like we've said many times before. Now, we're not talking about that concise sentence that your high school teachers always said that you had to have in all your essays. We're talking about just a reason for buying a stock, not just we like the stonk or everybody's talking about it on Twitter. So take that as you wish. Take it and run.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that might be helpful for anybody, I mean, is there could be a lot of people who are really interested in the markets, have been waiting and now want to get involved in the markets now that they've pulled back a little bit. Or it may just be good to kind of go over this for people who are more experienced and want just a reminder, have a simple framework that's repeatable that they can use to evaluate stocks. And this is in a nutshell what I'm going to share in this next segment. In a nutshell, is what we teach in our course, How to Talk Stocks at the University of New Hampshire, where we kind of walk an entire semester through a particular stock and we cover each one of these pieces of the framework. So I want to share my screen. And again, this is a simple framework that you can use to evaluate stocks, come up with your thesis and your conclusion on whether or not you want to buy, sell, or hold. So I'm going to go ahead, share my screen again, and we'll go over to the Word doc I made, just sort of walk through. And Joe, I'm assuming you can see that simple stock framework.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So, I mean, step one is find a stock. Right, Joe? I mean, find a stock. So, I mean, Joe, when you decided you wanted to buy Etsy, how did you even know Etsy existed?
How did I know Etsy existed? Well, people, how do I go with that? People talk about it on FinTwit a lot. Comes up in general market news every once in a while. It's a pretty well-hyped stock. I'm familiar with the website. I know some people who sell stuff on Etsy. So just kind of a familiar name, I guess. Somewhat of a household name.
Right. I mean, for me, I became more and more familiar with Etsy when boxes started showing up from these artisans. And I was like, how did you buy these things from that are coming from California? What, Etsy. Oh, interesting, right? So find a stock. Look in the world around you, right? What are the products, the brands, the services that you love? And, or look at work and say, what are the products and services that we use at work that are just indispensable to me and how I do my job? So find a stock. So look in the world around you, your world around you, and, come up with a name that is intriguing to you. So that's step one. Step two, figure out how does it make money? How does it make money? And Joe, the easiest way to do that, in my opinion, is to take a look at the 10K, and you can get the 10K on the investor relations portion of almost every publicly traded stock's website. So you go to the investor, you Google investor relations Etsy plus 10K or SEC filings. And when you open up that 10K report, there's going to be a hyperlink to business. Click that hyperlink business. And it's going to give you two paragraphs where it talks about this is our business and this is how we make money. So it'll say, you know, if you've got a company like Etsy where it's uniting these creators with consumers and it's taking some portion of a fee in the middle, right? Or it could be a software company where people buy it once and it's one and done, or it could be software as a service where people pay a subscription ongoing to it, or it could be, so it could be any kind of a mix of that, but you need to understand how does the company, or it's Starbucks, you know, and you're it's making its money by selling you coffee every day and hoping that you may buy a muffin or maybe a sandwich every once in a while, right? So understand how the company makes money. That's step two. Step three, how big is the addressable market? Okay, how big is the addressable market? And you can just Google it. You can Google e-commerce. And for example, for Etsy or Shopify or any of those kind of companies, or Amazon, and you can just simply Google e-commerce sales quarterly, and the retail sales report that the government puts out every quarter will come up. It'll show you exactly how big, how much money is spent on retail, and what proportion is e-commerce right now. And it's like, you know, teens to low 20s of all retail sales. So again, how big is the addressable market that the company is targeting? Because you're trying to get a feel for, okay, is this a young company that's just, you know, getting going and has a lot of running room? Or is this a very mature company and it's already pretty much maxed out its opportunity within that particular market? And then kind of as a part of step three, Joe, is why will it win? What does it do? What does Etsy or some other company do better than their competitors? What is it about that company that makes you think it can win? And it can be just products that are in the pipeline. It can be existing products. It could be anything. But why will it be the one that's going to be the winner within that big addressable market that it's targeting? Does that make sense so far, Joe?
Absolutely.
All right. So the next piece of the puzzle, step five, is analyze the risks. We spend way too much time on FinTwit in our echo chambers, right? I love stock. I love stock A. I love stock A. So do I. So do I. So do I, right? And we spend very little time thinking about what could go wrong with those stocks. In that 10K that you already looked at for to find out how does the company make money, there will also be a section on risks. Some of the risks are just going to be boilerplate, you know, risks that every company is going to include for legalese, you know, whatever. But if you read through those, you will get a good feel for what could go wrong for the company. And what I always tell my students is pick one, whatever you think is the big risk. And we use something called PESTLE, which if you Google it, just, you know, Google PESTLE, and it'll walk you through the different components of that's an acronym. So pick one big risk facing the company and then answer to yourself, okay, this is the big risk facing it. How will it overcome it? So for example, we have students all the time that pick Tesla as their company, and invariably they come back and they settle on the big risk that is facing them is technological innovation with batteries. Will they be able to maintain their lead in batteries, right? Because that could be the key differentiator between buying something from Lucid or something from Fisker or something from Tesla in another few years. So that's the question you'd want to answer, right? You'd want to say, okay, well, how can they maintain that lead in batteries, right? Step seven, financials. And really, Joe, I like to try and keep it simple. As you know, I like to look at the balance sheet. I just like to look at the cash and I like to look at the debt. Do they have more cash than they have debt, more debt than they have cash? And how has that changed over the past year? Is their cash increasing? Is their debt decreasing? So just those two things on the balance sheet. And then on the income statement, look at the year-over-year change in revenue, operating margin, and earnings per share. So revenue or sales, I mean, that's obvious. That's how they make their money, right? Are they making more money this year, bringing in more money as a business than they were the year before? And again, you can get this in the 10K, but in this case, I actually look at the quarterly numbers. So then you would want to, instead of looking at the 10K on the investor relations portion of the website, you'd pull up the 10Q. So the 10Q is the quarterly report. And all this information will be contained right inside of it. So you look at the revenue and say, okay, is the revenue growing versus last year? You can calculate the operating margin, right? So basically, is the company, are the margins at the company expanding? Like, are they able to leverage their, let's assume the company's got sales that are growing. Are they able to leverage those increasing sales against their fixed expenses so that their margin is improving? And then where the rubber meets the road for all investors is, as shareholders, we are theoretically entitled to our share of their profitability. And that's best reflected as earnings per share. So are their earnings per share growing? Is the company's earnings per share growing or shrinking? Once you've gone through those seven steps, you should then be able to make a conclusion. Do you want to buy? Do you want to hold it, put it like on a watch list, if you will? Or do you want to sell it short or just ignore it? And it doesn't take a tremendous amount of time. Once you have that framework written down and you go through it, it doesn't take a tremendous amount of time. You can digest a lot of stocks over and over and over again using that simple framework.
Absolutely. It is pretty simple. And if you don't think it's simple, my response to you would be, well, it's your money. How much do you care about your money? How much do you care about your hard-earned wages, your retirement savings, whatever it happens to be? You know, if you look at that and you're like, oh, eight steps, that's a lot of work. Yeah, it is. But also, maybe you just shouldn't be so lazy and you should care about your money a little bit more, because if you don't do that research and you're just buying based off of what you see other people buying, or even worse, what you see other people talking about, then you're going into it just utterly uninformed.
Yeah. How hard will it be for you to have conviction when the market sells off like we're seeing right now, Joe? If you haven't at least done that basic bare minimum due diligence to have that confidence that you're okay owning that company, when even though it's falling 10% and then it's falling another 10%, you're not going to have any conviction, no conviction. And then you're going to get emotionally chasing your tail in your decision making.